Beautiful greetings, everybody. My name is Alex Flores.
And I'm Meredith Frico.
And you're listening to Tea Time with Bitter and Sweet.
It is summer. Snacks, glorious snacks. We're going to talk about snacks.
Meredith, my dear.
Yeah.
What are we drinking?
So I'm drinking a herbal tea. I decided I wanted some freshness in my life. So I put apple mint, some sage and rosemary in some hot water and let it just sit. And I'm about to drink it.
All from your garden.
All from my garden.
We must add.
Yeah. I'm so happy. I'm so happy I haven't killed it all yet. Because that's totally something I would do.
We know.
Okay. You asshole. What are you drinking?
I had to buy some matcha for myself because, as most of you know, matcha is my favorite tea.
Right.
And
I do know that.
A lot of the time I like to have it during the hotter season because I like having iced matcha latte.
Mm.
It's my favorite thing in the world.
I will tell you, and I think you know this, I do not like matcha.
Yeah.
I'm just not a fan.
I remember that. That's why you don't ever buy it.
Nope.
But also, it's pretty expensive.
Well, and I've made it occasionally, and I can make it in a way that I can tolerate it.
Mm.
And I do like it in that way. Like, I like to put a little ginger in it and some almond milk and all that jazz. So, that's the way I like it. But personally, I'm just not a big matcha fan. It's powdery at the bottom.
Yeah.
Blech.
Yeah.
I don't like the powdery, gritty part.
I just don't drink it. And then sometimes I'm feeling really dangerous and I do drink it.
Feeling dangerous.
I'm just like, let's do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so matcha green tea latte using, what did I use? Almond milk.
I was like, I don't know. This time you made your own.
I did.
So I have no idea what you put in it.
No clue.
So, listener, you should grab a cup of tea yourself and maybe a snack.
Yeah.
After we tell you a few. Because I feel like these snacks were pretty good.
They were really nice,
pretty
actually.
Delicious.
Most of them were really refreshing.
I would like to add that before Alex got here, we were supposed to be doing a different podcast.
Yeah, we,
we'll do it a different time. I just thought that topic would be too serious. And listener, I'm not going to tell you what the topic was because we'll probably do it some other time.
Eventually.
So I just don't want to do it because I felt like it would have been too depressing. And so I was like, I want to do something that's not depressing. So we're going to do food.
Yeah, we've been doing some really serious topics lately.
We have.
And that's not what we're known for.
No. And I'm tired of it. Damn it. So we're doing snacks because we like snacks.
So we are going to talk about something that makes everybody happy.
Food.
Food.
Yes.
Yeah.
It makes my soul happy.
It makes my stomach. I was going to say tummy.
Stummy.
Stummy. It makes my stummy happy.
People and stummy.
Anyway, so most of the food was actually really nice. Very refreshing.
All of it very healthy.
Yes.
I tried to make them healthy. So, hopefully people will actually eat them.
I don't really mind if it's not healthy. Like, I could do cheese-covered potatoes all day long. You know what I mean? But as long
as
it just doesn't
have... Is that a snack?
Yeah, absolutely. It's it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack, bedtime...
Elevensies.
Yeah, elevensies. Yeah. Whenever you're hungover
second
in the morning.
Dinner.
Like, it's just whatever it is.
Right.
But today, we... well, not really we... You.
It's because I surprised you, so you didn't have any prepared, and that's just, so I looked up a bunch of different summery kind of snacks that I thought would be very tasty and refreshing. Some of them are tasty and refreshing, and then I realized I was doing mainly sweet, so I put in some two savory snacks. So we'll start with a sweet snack.
Okay.
So we're going to start with the frozen yogurt blueberries.
I really pretty much enjoyed these.
Yeah, they're very refreshing. I think you said that whenever we were eating them.
Because compared to the rest of the food that we were eating, it was something to kind of, clean the palate or cleanse the palate. Yeah, it was...
It's like that weird ice cream thing that fancy restaurants serve in between meals.
Yeah.
They're like, here's something to cleanse your palate. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I switched to a different accent, but I feel like maybe that's what waiters at fancy restaurants sound like.
They're just very proper.
Yes. But anyway, so the yogurt blueberry, frozen blueberries, they're actually mm-hmm. really easy to make. Literally, it's just yogurt and blueberries. Mm-hmm. And all you do is you get your blueberries, you throw them into some yogurt, pull it out with a fork and put it on a cookie sheet, and you'll freeze them for about an hour. And half of them I sweetened mm-hmm. with some maple syrup. I didn't do like a, I didn't get a flavored yogurt because I needed the yogurt for another recipe that I made with these snacks. So I was trying to be frugal.
All right.
But anyway, so some of them were sweetened and some weren't. I think mm-hmm. the unsweetened were good.
I preferred the unsweetened because, like I said, it was kind of like a really, it was like a jolt to the palate. It kind of just cleansed it. It kind of made it feel like it wasn't anything specific. And of course, everybody loves blueberries.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, not everybody, but we won't assume that. The sane people.
Yes.
Okay. So I liked the taste of these and they were really refreshing. I didn't like how icy they ended up being.
And then they started to melt.
And they melted, So this isn't something that you just leave out and snack on. It's something that, you know, if you're watching a movie and you want to just run and get some blueberries, just eat a couple of them and then put them back in the freezer.
Get a little cup or something.
Yes, yeah. So not something that you'd necessarily want to be outside with, which is so funny that we're doing this as a summer snack. But like they're very cooling. So like if you wanted something, if you were super hot and you were like, I need something cold to eat.
Right.
That would be a good one.
Like this is a substitute for frozen grapes. For those of you who like to eat frozen grapes.
I love frozen grapes. They'd probably be pretty good with yogurt on them too. Mm-hmm. The recipe that I found, it was a dairy-free yogurt, which is what I intended to use, but the store that I went to didn't have any. Mm. So I just used regular plain Greek yogurt, and it was good.
I would also say that this is a snack that you don't eat handfuls of at a time.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to savor it, this is what I would recommend. Because, I mean, I like my blueberries like I like my men, okay? 25 it always of them
circles,
at a time.
Oh my God. It always circles back to men, doesn't it? 25 at a time.
Yeah, 25 of them at a time. So like I can eat handfuls of blueberries, right? Just like bam.
Sure.
Bam. They're done, right? Yeah. So, but if you really wanted to savor them, if you wanted to enjoy them, like let's say you're watching a movie and you wanted them to last a little bit longer, having this, it makes you feel like you can't just pop them all in your mouth all at once because...
Right.
They're so icy. Like you said, it would hurt your teeth.
They're very cold. Yeah, for sure. And if you do have sensitive teeth, this might not be a good snack for you.
No.
So on the scale of 1 to 10, I rated it a 5 and you rated it a 7.
Yes, because I thought it was very refreshing. It wasn't something to like munch on, like chew on, or like to like really like get that satisfying feeling that you're eating something. It was just something very refreshing.
I gotcha. Okay, the next one. We did kale chips.
Yeah.
These were Alex's favorite, I think.
Oh my God.
So they're very simple. You just get your kale and then you will rip it into pieces, not necessarily bite-sized pieces, but chip-sized pieces, I guess. And then you'll put oil on them, massage the oil into them, and put them in one layer. Don't overlap them on your cookie sheet. Sprinkle some salt and bake it at 345 for about 10-ish minutes. I kept needing to do it a little less than that, but I baked it a little higher up because I thought that the recipe was stupid. And I was like, maybe it needs to be hotter. I don't know that it needed to be hotter.
Okay.
But anyway, so that's what I did, and they were really good.
These were so good. What I really love about these is that when you were eating them, they felt light. Like you weren't eating something that was too greasy or too fried or too baked.
Right. Don't put too much oil. That's kind of just enough to coat it, and that's it.
But it felt like it wasn't... You weren't... feeling like you were having something unhealthy, but also at the same time, the salt on the kale chips, it made it taste like you were having something savory.
It was really good.
Yeah.
I would agree. I think that I gave it an 8 out of 10. I did like these a lot.
Yeah.
I think they are super easy to oversalt. Mm-hmm. So like the first two batches that I did, because you can only do them in a layer.
Yeah.
In order to get that crispiness to it. The first batch I did, the first two I did, it was so salty. So the last one I didn't even put salt on it because I was like, there's so much salt in this. So if you like salt a lot, this is probably a great snack for you.
I do.
Maybe just do a little less salt than I did. I did probably about 2 tablespoons in total on the entire batch.
Yeah.
And I just did one whole like bunch of kale.
Yeah.
So,
but also because of the oil, it wasn't completely dried out.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit chewy still. So you felt like you were like nibbling on something.
Yeah. I did like them a lot, but like I said, but
thoroughly
I
thoroughly enjoyed.
Just to me, it gets too salty too easily. So for me, it's an 8, but for you, you gave it a 10.
I'm a salty kind of bitch.
Makes sense.
It does.
Okay. Next one. Mm-hmm. Was not your favorite. Lemon curd chia seed pudding.
I really enjoyed the texture. And it was very, how I should say, smooth.
You probably would like it better if it was vanilla.
Yeah, but
I love lemon.
It was so strong.
So sour.
It was really sour and really tangy.
I love that.
It's one of those things that you can only have a very limited amount at a time.
I disagree.
Okay.
So you're wrong. But that's okay. You can have your own opinions.
It was just so strong. It was just so powerful, the flavor of it all.
And I think it'd be delicious with like mango on top. And some berries or something like
that. Yeah, I'm sure it would be good.
But this was the one you and I disagreed on the most. I gave it a 9. And so
I gave it a 4.
You gave it a 4. I said it was very refreshing. I mean, it is to me. Yeah. I really like lemon though. Like I like the lemonade that makes your jaw lock.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff I love.
I don't like lemonade that makes your jaw lock.
I love it. Okay. So the recipe for the lemon curd chia seed pudding is you need 2 lemons, the juice from both of those, and you need zest from 1. You need about 5 tablespoons of chia seeds. You need full fat coconut milk, some water, and I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I don't think there is. Oh, some kind of sweetener. So like honey or maple syrup. I use maple syrup and I think it's very tasty and you can sweeten it to taste. It says like 2 tablespoons and I'm going to add 2 more. So, and to me, it's just really good. It's really lemony and I like that.
It's just so strong for me.
That's okay.
It was just so strong, so much.
That is okay.
Okay.
If you like the jaw clenching lemonade.
I like the lemonade that gives you diabetes.
Oh dear.
That's the one that I like.
All right, moving on.
Okay.
To things that won't give you diabetes.
Why?
Carrot cake balls.
These were really nice.
They were really good. Surprisingly.
I wasn't super excited about the carrot cake balls.
I knew, honestly, I was like, I don't think he will really like the idea of these, but I think if they taste good, he'll be fine. So I was just praying, because I've never made these. I was just praying to all the gods I can pray to that they would be tasty, and they were.
Yeah.
I liked them a lot.
The only thing that I would recommend is that they were either baked or deep fried. Because they were no bake.
Yeah, they're bake.
They're really, really good. The flavor was incredible.
Which makes them a lot easier to create since they're no bake.
And you coated them with a little bit of coconut powder, which was also a very, very nice touch.
Right.
But if the outside of the coconut ball or the outside of the coconut powder or just the outside of the ball itself in general had a little bit of a crisp to it, and kept it in shape as you were eating it, I feel like that would have been the cherry on top.
I think if they were cold, it would be a little better. The shape kept a little better. But the crispiness is supposed to come from the shredded coconut. And I just shredded it too much. But I still think it was really good.
But also, with all of the food we were eating, it would have been nice to have something hot.
Because
everything we ate was all like just very juicy and sweet and very cold or frozen or anything like that. We did have toast, but...
And the kale chips.
Yeah, and the kale chips. But even still, like just that little bit of crisp is what I would have liked more so than anything.
Well, that's okay. You can do what you want with them.
I think I gave these an 8.
You did give these an 8.
Okay. If they had been baked or deep fried, I probably would have given them a 10.
I gave them a 10.
Because they were really nice.
I gave them a 10 because they're exactly how I wanted them to taste. The recipe is, it needs dates, I think 12 of them, and you need a cup of oats, half a cup of carrots, shredded carrots, about 2 tablespoons of shredded ginger, which is what I think made this so tasty. I put a little bit of cinnamon in there, and I think that might be it. A little bit of vanilla extract.
Okay.
And then you mush it all together, and then you make little balls out of it.
Uh-huh.
And rub it in all of the the coconut shreddedness. Anyway. So yeah, I gave it a 10 because, like I said, it's exactly what I thought. I think it would be really tasty. Good for travel, I've decided. And I think it'd be really tasty, like with a cup of coffee while I'm at work, when I'm on my break or something.
But you also told me, and this might have a little bit to do with how I feel about it, you told me that they were going to be carrot cake balls.
They are carrot cake balls.
And when I think of cake, I think of something that's baked. So in my mind, I had already thought to myself, oh, there's going to be a little bit of bake to them.
No. You know what I mean? No bake carrot cake balls.
You didn't say no bake, though. So when you were explaining it to me, I was just like, oh, okay.
I'm sorry to have lied to you.
You are a terrible person.
I know.
But I forgive you.
It's okay. It's like practice for when I tell my children Santa Claus doesn't exist. Okay, next one.
Okay.
Hummus cucumber toast.
This one was really, really good.
It was very tasty. I would suggest eating it immediately.
Yes.
I gave it an 8 and you gave it a 9.
Yes.
I give it an 8 because I feel like if you don't eat it immediately, it very easily gets soggy.
That's why I gave it a 9.
And I'm not a fan of soggy bread. So if you are going to make this, just eat it right away. So as soon as you make it, you're like, okay, I'm going to sit down and eat this. Because we waited a little bit because we were making a bunch of other stuff.
But your toast, the way you like your toast, is very slightly toasted.
I like it more toasted than that. We just didn't toast it enough.
Okay, well, we should have toasted it enough because I would have liked for that crunch to be there whenever you were eating the bread.
Right.
And I think that's the only reason why I didn't give it a 10.
Well, the crunch, I'm glad that the cucumbers were crunchy.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, this is how you make it. All it is you toast a piece of bread, any bread you'd like. But I use that Ezekiel bread, which is very tasty. And I got the sesame seed one. But anyway, literally you can use any kind of bread you want.
Yeah.
And then you slather on some hummus of your choice. You can either home make it or buy it. I bought it this morning. I didn't make it. Normally I would make it, but I was lazy.
How dare you?
I know. And so I bought a red pepper hummus, which was so good.
It was really nice.
And then I topped it with 4 slices of cucumbers.
I would have preferred chipotle hummus, but that's because I love chipotle hummus.
Chipotle is good.
So good.
Yeah. So that's how you make it. And it's really easy to kind of tamper with. Like, you could change up the hummus, like you were just saying. You could use tomatoes instead of
cucumbers.
Yeah. So just depending on what you want to do. That's what I like about this snack. Also, it's a little more filling than some of the other snacks. Instead of like 2 little carrot balls or whatever. Like, you can have a piece of toast. And to me, piece of toast is like my go-to snack. So, yeah, that's an option. Okay, and the last one that we made. I keep saying we, but really I made it.
Yeah, you made them. By the time I got here, everything was pretty much done.
Yeah.
I was surprised, too, because whenever I got here, the frozen blueberries were already done.
Yeah.
And you said they needed to be frozen for an hour.
Well, it's because I went to the store very early this morning.
I know you messaged me, and I was just like, dear God, what are we doing?
Well, and I kind of didn't, I almost didn't even text you and tell you that I was going to change it. I almost was like, I'm just going to do it. And when he gets here, I'm going to be like, don't be mad, but I'm changing it today.
Okay, honey.
Okay, so the next and last one that I made, we'll talk about other ones here in a minute, but the one that I made was watermelon fries with a yogurt dip. And I liked this one.
Yeah.
I gave it a 9, and you gave it a 7.
Yes. The only reason I gave it a 7 is because you put tahini on it.
I know. You don't like that.
And tahine is one of those spices that my body just doesn't do.
I love tahine.
I have such bad acid reflux, and tahine is one of those that really hits my acid reflux hard.
So for those of you that don't know what tahine is, where have you been? Also, it's just like a chili spice with salt. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people put it on top of fruit. You could put it on top of anything. I like it a lot with cucumbers too, actually. So that's pretty good. But most people put it on top of fruit, mm-hmm. like pineapples or mangoes or watermelon or any kind of melon, really.
Yeah. But also, one of the reasons why I gave it the rating that I did is because one time you made me a watermelon basil. Mm-hmm. And that was so good. So whenever I ate this, that's what I compared it to. And I was just like, in comparison, it just doesn't match up.
That's all right. It happens.
But the watermelon and the dip, I really loved.
Yeah, it was really good.
The dip was really nice, actually.
So the dip literally is just yogurt, lime zest, and some sugar. So like there's coconut sugar in my house. So I just use that. And the recipe called for coconut sugar. So that worked out. But I gave it a 9 because I wished that I had made the dip a tad sweeter. Just a tad. But that's because I like sweet. So it's a little different for me.
But the watermelon that you have, just the watermelon itself, is a good watermelon.
Yes. And I cut them into fry sizes. Mm-hmm. People, you don't have to do that.
No.
That's a lot of work. you can literally just cut it up into cubes and use it like a regular dip. But since it was called watermelon fries, I thought that it would be a nice touch.
Yes.
And then, like you just said, I topped the fries off with tahine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The spice. And I really like tahine. But if you do not, you can just leave it off and it still tastes perfectly yummy.
Yeah.
The lime zest, I will say, is a must because that I feel like that made that dip.
Mm.
The lime zest. Since I bought Greek yogurt instead of the coconut yogurt that it suggests, I did get a little bit of lime juice and put it in there.
Just to cream it up a little bit.
Yeah. To lighten it because it was so heavy. Like it's such a thick Greek yogurt. But
anyway, you know what I'm thinking of now?
Tell me.
Putting a little bit of, cutting up a little bit of basil and doing a little bit of Himalayan salt and grinding it up in a mortar and pestle and then using that over the watermelon. God, that sounds good.
Maybe we'll try it sometime. Just a little salt and some basil.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a good snack if you wanted something that was sweet and salty.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we had discussed too, we thought that for a summer party, the two that would be the best for a party is the watermelon fries and the yogurt dip.
Yes.
And the kale chips.
I loved those kale chips.
I know you did. You ate them basically all.
That was the one dish that I finished.
It's okay. I think the ones that are best for travel are the carrot balls. I feel like those would be really great for traveling. Mm-hmm. And then I also feel like the kale chips, too, would be good for traveling. I think they would probably get smashed to smithereens at some point. But if you ate them, like, as you were going on your trip, it would be fairly good.
Oh, yes.
Okay, those are all the ones that we made, that I made. So we're going to talk about the other snacks that you can make for summer.
Things that you have made before.
Yes. So a smoothie is a good one.
Yes. I love a good smoothie. I also love a good fruit dip, depending on however you make it. I feel like those things are kind of similar, depending on how creamy your fruit dip is, because I don't like to use a whole lot of like yogurts and things. I would rather have like my own type of creamy dip with like maybe a cream cheese instead.
Well, and yogurt's a little better for you. So if you're going the healthy route, then maybe yogurt would be better. Mm-hmm. But if you are kind of just like, I want something that's really tasty.
Yeah.
Cream cheese.
Cream cheese better.
Sure. I used to make actually a cream or a fruit dip where I worked. And it's the recipe is basically just cream cheese and whipped cream. And then they would add like a strawberry syrup to it.
Or a vanilla extract.
Yeah.
Very tasty.
Yeah, it is tasty. I don't know how we got off on that because we were talking about smoothies.
I just thought of the creaminess of it.
Oh, okay.
Because I normally blend my dips.
Well, sure. Sure. Yeah, you can make whatever smoothie you want and it would work out good. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people put yogurt in their smoothies. I'm not a big yogurt in my smoothie kind of fan. I put usually some kind of almond milk or oat milk or something. A smoothie that I have every day that a lot of people I don't know would like I think it, they would like it if they tried it, but I don't think people would try it. I'm daring you, listen. So it's just bananas, like handfuls of spinach, and some almond milk, and then cacao powder and peanut butter powder. And some flaxseed if you want something a little healthier. And it is so good.
That sounds really good.
It tastes just really sweet, but you're getting a lot of greens. So that's something that interests you. You should definitely try that. It is very tasty.
I have two go-to smoothies that I do. One of them is dependent on how healthy I want to be.
Right.
And then the other one is dependent on how tasty I want it to be.
Right.
So my healthy one is frozen yogurt with strawberries and blueberries. That will never go out of style for me.
Sure.
It's just incredible. I love the taste of the strawberries and the blueberries together. I've always loved it. And then the frozen yogurt is just a good substitute for whatever cream you're deciding to do.
Right.
Now, my other one, I try to make it healthy sometimes.
Sometimes it just doesn't work out.
Sometimes it doesn't work out. This one is normally some type of milk substitute. So I'll either have soy milk or maybe oat milk. And then I'll have bananas, peanut powder.
Yeah, that's what I use in my smoothie.
And if I'm in the mood for it, cocoa powder. So my milk substitute will normally be sweetened. And that's normally where that's the most sugar I really need, especially with the bananas.
Yeah, the bananas are so sweet that I feel like there's no need.
So I'll have maybe like a vanilla soy milk and then bananas, peanut powder, cocoa powder. It tastes just like a Reese's peanut butter cup.
That's what my...
It is so good.
That's what my green smoothie tastes like too, with the spinach. And you don't even taste the spinach.
That's a lie. But...
You don't taste the spinach. It's no lie. It just is really green.
Oh, I love it so much. That's the one I go... That's my go-to smoothie whenever I want to be. I don't
think that sounds unhealthy.
It doesn't sound unhealthy, but when I make it, it just looks unhealthy. It smells unhealthy. Probably because it just reminds me of candy.
Sure.
That's probably why. But my frozen yogurt with strawberries and blueberries, that's the one that's normally... Not only is it a little bit cheaper, but it's a little bit easier.
And if you wanted to, too, you wouldn't even have to add almond milk to that. People make lots of nice creams, banana nice cream. You could literally just blend up some of your bananas to be like an ice cream and then add your peanut butter powder and cocoa powder and have like a Reese's ice cream.
Yeah.
And that would be kind of good. Okay, frozen grapes is kind of a go-to. We mentioned that, I think,
earlier. I love frozen grapes in wine.
They're delicious.
That's probably my favorite snack.
It's wine.
It's wine.
I feel like at all times, like I love frozen grapes. And Russell yesterday, he brought sangria. It is.
Oh my God. The summer drink is sangria and frozen grapes.
Right.
That's my all year drink, but besides the point.
So, Russell, instead of buying me like a bouquet of flowers, he always brings home fruit. And that makes me really happy. So yesterday he brought home a huge bag of cotton candy grapes. And they are so freaking good.
Can I tell you a secret?
Tell me.
I hate them.
Well, you don't have to have them.
They are gross.
Well, that's fine. They're not for you.
They're disgusting.
I love them.
I can't. I don't like grapes that taste like candy.
I love it.
Even though they are kind of like really sweet naturally, even still, just like cotton candy and grapes, that's not a combination that I want.
It tastes delicious. So anyway, I like them a lot and I froze them and they are so good frozen. Oh, so tasty. Okay. Another one that millennials are very familiar with is the avocado toast. The epitome of millennial snacks / breakfast.
/ basic bitch status.
It's just the epitome, I feel like, of millennials. I love avocado toast, honestly. I like putting a little pepper and salt and then topping it with tomatoes.
Yeah. I like guacamole, but I just can't do avocado.
I can't put guacamole on toast.
I can.
I cannot.
I can put guac on just about anything. No, I don't know why. My mother, she can just open an avocado and just start eating it with a spoon, and I cannot. Can too.
It's delicious.
I can't do it.
I used to when I was in college. I would, if I could get my hands on avocados, because they can be pricey. If I could get my hands on avocados, I would eat them like that, but I would just put like a spoonful of salsa in it, and I would eat it like that. It's so yummy.
Also, I feel bad for anybody who lives outside of an avocado field grown area, because the farther and farther you go away from where avocados are grown, the harder it's going to be for you to find them and buy them. So an avocado for me, like the priciest avocado I've ever bought and was maybe like, I don't know what, $5?
Yeah.
And then there are some places where the priciest avocado can be anywhere from like $10 to $20.
So in Connecticut, they were about $6 or so. And I was always like, I want an avocado. But they have Puerto Rican avocados. I don't remember what they're called. There's a different name for them, but they're massive. They're huge. But they have a slightly different texture. And everybody there was like, well, the Puerto Rican ones are better anyway, because a lot of people there are Puerto Rican.
Right.
And I was just like, no.
But I can buy an avocado for like $2, right? When they're out of season, it's probably like $5.
Sure. I agree. Okay. So another one is apple slices with peanut butter, or you could make a healthy caramel dipping sauce out of dates. Da, da,
da, da, da, da, da. I actually don't mind date dipping sauce.
It's actually really good because we made it for... So if you have heard our Halloween vegan snack or vegan candy episode, we made vegan caramel and it was made out of dates.
It was really not bad at all.
It was so good.
The only thing that I would say whenever you're making date recipes is to dilute it a little bit, because dates are so sweet when you turn them into a syrup. So sweet.
Well, and you don't make a, you don't add sugar or anything to them, obviously, because they're very sweet. So you just blend up some dates with a little bit of water and you can leave it there if you want and just have like it, and it's blended really, really well, really creamy. And it's, it is a very good caramel dip. If you wanted to add stuff to it, you could put vanilla extract in it. You could add bourbon to it. You could add cinnamon. Like, there's a lot of stuff you could do in order to make it kind of just special.
Yes.
But if you wanted a basic, like, dipping sauce, just a little bit of water and dates, blend it until it's the consistency you want, and then just dip your apples in it.
Yeah. Pro tip, soak your dates before you blend them.
Yep. Because it, especially if they're super hard, because if you just blend them right offhand, it's going to be like
a little bit
chunky.
Yeah.
And we don't want that.
Soak your dates for a couple of hours, depending on the date.
Yeah. Okay. Sweet potato chips or fries.
I love sweet potato fries.
I love sweet potatoes in general. Sweet potato fries are great.
I have tried making sweet potato fries and they are so difficult to get thin without breaking the potato.
They are.
So normally you would have to bake the potato.
Right.
And then cut them up into your fries. And then depending on how you wanted to cook them, either re-bake them or fry them.
I have never had to do that. But what I like to do is I cut them into fry pieces and then I'll put them on my cookie sheet. And normally I don't even use oil. I just put a little salt on it. Sometimes I'll add some cumin and chili because I feel like sweet potatoes are really susceptible to like Mexican flavors.
Yeah.
So anyway, I put them in the oven and I'll cook them for like an hour and a half because they take forever to bake. But then I like to dip them in some, I make like an avocado dip and it is delicious. It's almost like a guacamole, but I don't, I barely add anything. It's smashed avocados with some lime and salt.
Yeah.
So good.
Here's another pro tip. I don't know of how many of you have ever done this before.
You are a pro.
I am a pro. I don't know how many of you have ever done this before, but there's a little trick that some people use. And this is normally what people do when they're making bread. But they'll have a very, very wide pan at the bottom of their oven and leave it empty. And every, let's say, 10 to 15, maybe 20 minutes, they'll add a little bit of water to that pan so that there's steam in the oven. And that steam will help the sweet potato soak up that humidity and help it kind of, I don't know how to say...
It'll probably make them softer.
Yeah, it'll make them softer and it will make them easier to bake on a faster time.
Yeah, so they would be faster.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be as crunchy, will tell you.
They wouldn't be as crunchy. But if you want them to cook faster, and then if you want them to have like a regular fry texture, like a regular like white or purple fry, because I like to make Japanese fries.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever had
purple potatoes. Yeah.
Yeah, the purple potatoes. I love those. They're so good.
They're good.
But it's the Japanese potatoes are pretty much a sweet potato, it's just a white carb instead of a brown carb.
Right.
That's all it is. But so whenever you're doing it, if you want it to be a little bit softer and you want it to have just that slightly softer texture than the sweet potato, because everybody knows sweet potatoes are pretty firm.
Sure.
So if you just want to add a little bit of water to your oven to soften them up, that's what I do.
Okay.
Well, it also helps them cook much faster.
Yes, I would say that it, I don't think I would personally like that because I feel like they'd be somewhat soggy. Mm. But I think if you were on a time crunch and you just really wanted some sweet potato fries, mm-hmm. then that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
The last snack I have mm-hmm. is a watermelon pizza, which I think
oh, yes.
is a good idea because we kind of touched on a watermelon pizza mm-hmm. when we were talking about the basil and the salt. Mm-hmm. So basically all you do is you cut your watermelon into about 2-inch rings to where they're like a round. So you'll have like a 2-inch watermelon round. You cut them. Well, actually you'll top it first. So like I've seen lots of different toppings. You could top it with basil and, you know, be done like you would want. You could top it with mint. A way that I saw that I think would be interesting to try is that you top it with some yogurt mm-hmm. and you top it with fruits and berries mm-hmm. and then they put mint on top of that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that would be pretty good.
I've seen this before.
Yeah. I think it's a pretty popular thing at the moment.
I think there is a baked good that you can put on the bottom, not necessarily a crust, but what it is, it's kind of a crust. It's kind of like a, I don't know how you say.
Are you talking about one of those cookie pizzas?
Yes, I'm talking about a cookie pizza, but people use cream cheese and fruit on top of it.
Right.
It's more so anything like a Danish, maybe, like the baked part of a Danish.
Yeah, they're sweet pizzas.
I don't know what they're called though. That breading that's underneath them.
It's a sugar cookie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a sugar cookie and then they top it with fruit and stuff. It's not you wouldn't put watermelon on it. It would make it soggy. Mm. But you could do that too. It's mm-hmm. just it's like a cream cheese icing. And then you put like your different fruits on top if you wanted to. It's similar to that, but I think the watermelon pizza is healthier.
Yeah. See, in the summer, I would rather go for something a little bit more juicier and a little bit more like sweetened, kind of like an enjoy yourself kind of moment. Uh-huh. Because I'm already throughout the year, I'm a pretty healthy person. So when I'm trying to enjoy myself, I'm not trying to be healthy.
I gotcha. Well, I enjoy healthy foods. Yeah. So it's not, to me, I'm still enjoying it even though it's healthy. So just because it's healthy doesn't make me enjoy it less.
I don't feel a responsibility to my body.
That's okay. I feel like my body's a temple and I should treat it good. But anyway.
Yes.
That's all I've got.
Okay. Then we shall move on to our favorite segments. brewing something bitter. Meredith, my dear, mm-hmm. what makes you bitter?
Sometimes gardening does. So I'm growing things and some of it's going really well, but some of it I'm just like nervous about it and I don't know if it's going to grow right. And like right now I've just planted onions mm-hmm. and I bought this thing that's specifically for root vegetables and stuff mm-hmm. like that, but it just doesn't look like it's doing well. And so I'm like, what if they all die? Mm-hmm. And I killed them. Because I'm responsible for the lives of all of those plants out there. And I'm slowly killing some of them.
Well, I think that's what happens to everybody when they start a garden.
Well, I'd hate that.
I mean, you kind of just like find out what works.
Well, slowly but surely, I'm finding out what works really well for herbs. Mm-hmm. So since I've been doing well with herbs, I was like, I'm going to try tomatoes and peppers and onions. And so far, I don't know that the outcome looks great.
Okay.
So that's what makes me bitter.
Well, I hope you get to a point where you're satisfied with your garden.
Thank you. How about you?
Manual labor.
Same thing.
I have never been one for manual labor. My body is not a temple.
My body. Yes, it is.
So, you know, I picked up a second job
yes.
just to help with finances. And I'm doing a lot of manual labor. On one of my days at my part-time job, I unload the inventory. Mm. Whenever we get it in the warehouse and I'm unloading it and stacking it and I'm organizing everything. And it's so much work. And I'm there for a 10-hour shift, right? It's like intellectually not stimulating at all.
Sure.
Because all I'm doing is playing Tetris with boxes.
Right.
Like, that's all it is. But it's like my body is just like, what are you doing? You're not this smart so that you can be doing this kind of work.
Whatever.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what my body is telling me.
Sure.
You know, so, like, I just, like, over the last couple of weeks, I'm realizing that I'm not a child anymore. And I can't just treat my body however I want to.
Exactly. So. You're just proving my fucking point.
I am doing really well on keeping myself sane.
That's good.
I'm also doing well on making sure I get enough sleep. Mm-hmm. But by the end of the week, by the end of a 60-hour work week, when I begin the week intellectually stimulating my body,
right,
and then I end the week by just like physical manual labor, by the end of the week, I'm just exhausted.
Sure.
And it's not because I'm doing anything bad for my body. It's just because like I'm actually using it now.
I'm actually using my body. Got it.
And I'm just so sore and tender. I'm losing a lot of weight on top of already the weight that I have lost. I'm already losing even more weight now, which, you know, I'm happy for.
Sure.
But even still, I feel like there are days where I forget to like eat lunch or forget to eat dinner because not only am I so busy with my schedule, but also I'm so tired that I don't even realize what's going on.
Yeah, I totally understand, actually.
Sometimes I go home after work and I legit just pass out.
Yeah.
And I wake up and I'm just like, why am I so... Oh, I haven't ate since yesterday's breakfast.
Yeah, whenever I worked overnights, I had something similar. Like, I would work overnights, a full 8-hour shift. I think it was 9, actually. And then I would sleep for 4 hours and then I'd get up and go to my internship.
Mm-hmm.
And there'd be days that I was like, did I eat today? What day is this?
I do the same thing.
Yeah. And I lost a lot of weight doing that, actually. Not in a good way, I don't think. Because I just would either forget or, like, because I was up for such a long time, I would just be, like, sick to my stomach for some reason. And I would just not want to eat. So it it's difficult when you have lots of stuff going on and you don't necessarily have time to focus on your well-being.
Right.
So I feel your pain.
Anyway, that's what makes me better.
Okay. All right, Alex.
Yes.
What is sweet this week?
Boys.
All right.
I think I've told you about this a couple weeks ago. Now that I have a beard, people look at me differently.
Uh-huh.
Like, people don't look at me, like, it's specifically speaking, guys don't look at me anymore like I'm some sort of guilty pleasure.
Right.
Now they look at me as somebody who could they might potentially date.
Right.
And, like, find appealing for a long-term relationship.
Well, good.
Because
it's all about the beard.
I'm
waiting for your book.
I don't understand.
Your book about how beards change lives.
It's all about the beard. But anyway, I've been getting a lot of attention lately. And y'all know me. I love attention.
Sure do.
So, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about myself. And with all the weight that I'm losing, I'm looking better.
Strutting
I'm feeling
your
better.
I'm stuff.
Yeah, I feel incredible. I do. Other than being tired.
I was about to say, do you though?
Like, there's a difference though between being tired or like being malnourished or like being like to the point where your body is like aching.
Yes.
And I don't feel like I'm at that point. I just feel like I'm not meant for physical labor.
These hands don't do physical labor.
Yeah, they don't lift boxes. But I feel good about myself.
Good.
I feel like I'm going into a correct direction. As soon as I get rid of this second job, then it'll be just like a really nice, like, relief, like a refreshing moment in my life.
Oh,
to just like start over and be refreshed and be healthy and be strong and feel like you can take on anything.
Excellent.
Yay.
I'm glad to hear all of this.
Thanks.
Yeah. And that you're irresistible.
I am.
I knew it.
Okay, what about you?
I found a new book series.
I've been reading a lot recently, too.
Yeah, I've been reading a lot, which is really abnormal for me. Because, one, I have a learning disorder, and so it's difficult for me to read. But I enjoy it. So I kind of, like, at the beginning of the new year, one of my New Year's resolutions was to read more.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I was like, you know, I need to find something that I'm interested in reading.
Mm-hmm.
So I found a book series that's kind of very similar to Game of Thrones. Huh. And in fact, apparently George R.R. Martin is a big fan of this author.
Have you read the Game of Thrones books?
I read the first two and they were exactly the show. Oh. So I stopped reading it, but everybody keeps saying that it stops being the same after the third book. Oh. So I'm going to have to go back and reread the series.
Reread.
Because literally verbatim, everything that was said, everything that was done was exactly the same as the show.
Okay.
It was just in slow motion because I read slow. So I was like, I can't keep reading this. Oh, so goodness. I'm going to reread them later.
Okay.
But George R.R. Martin is a big fan of this book series that I've started reading, and I really enjoy it and like it a lot.
Yeah. What's it called?
So the series is called The Accursed Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And the first book is called The Iron King. And it was really good. I enjoyed it a lot.
It sounds familiar.
The Iron King.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had never really heard of the series. I just kind of stumbled upon them at the library.
Okay.
But then I saw at the top, it says the original Game of Thrones. And I was like, oh, that probably would be interesting. And it is. It's really interesting to read.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot going on. Hmm. And personally, I really like the fact that it's the location of the books.
Isn't there something in the Iron Throne known as the Game of Thrones known as the Iron Throne?
There is an Iron Throne.
In the Game of Thrones?
Yes.
So that's maybe what I'm thinking of.
Maybe.
And maybe it's a reference or something. I don't know.
I don't either. But the Iron King is different. So
it's a book.
Yes, that's the first book in the series.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm about to start, I think it's called The Strangled Queen. And it's the second book of the series.
Okay.
But I've just really enjoyed it. And I like that it's set in a location that I know. So in Game of Thrones, it's set in, a land that's kind of made up.
Yeah.
In this one, it's set in Europe.
Mm.
And I was just like, I love this. There's the
nice.
Queen of England and
yeah.
They talk about the King of France and all this stuff. In the last book, that was the main king that they were talking about was the King of France.
Mm.
And so I just feel like I have a better visual of where this could be happening and what it looks like and things. So I just really am enjoying the series. So if you like Game of Thrones and you kind of want a different book series, and they're shorter because Game of Thrones has so much. I mean, George R.R. Martin is a great writer, but my God, he goes on and on and on. He's like Stephen King. It kills me.
Goodness.
So, but this guy, whose name is, which I'll probably butcher, Mercier Duron. It's MauriceDuron. And yeah, he's a great writer. I really like him. And he's short and to the point. You understand what's going on. And I like it.
All right.
Good stuff.
Yay.
So if you want a new book series, I just gave you one. So shut up about it.
I've been reading sexy things.
I had no doubt. Whenever I talk to you, it's not, I don't think, oh, he would read Game of Thrones. I think he would probably read 50 Shades of Grey.
That too. Yeah.
You would love Outlander, actually.
Outlander?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a correct balance of intrigue, awesomeness, murder, and then there's a lot of sex in it. So you would enjoy that.
That sounds really, yeah, that sounds right up my back alley.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, ladies. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and those of you who have yet to decide, I don't judge. It's people of the world.
Yeah.
People of the world.
Yeah.
If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, please feel free to get a hold of us. All of our contact information will be in the description, as always. If you have some recipes that you would like to share with us,
we'd love that.
If you would like to give us input on any of the foods and snacks that we have provided with today's show, please let us know. That rhymed.
Yeah.
I am a modern day Shakespeare. I don't know if you knew that.
I definitely know that you're not.
Bye.
Goodbye.